Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good morning, everyone. Hi.
I can't really see you because the lights are blinding. So, why don't you all stand with us and join with us worship this morning?
Silence is the enemy. The bridge we open that conquers
God, we just come to you this morning. You are just so good, and we just praise you, and we just offer you all the thanks, God. God, we just want to just leave all of our stuff outside these doors, God, and just come here with open hearts and expectations of what you have to provide for us today, Lord. God, you are so good, and we just love you so much.
Thank you. Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, New Life. And good morning to New Life Online. It's great to be on site with you today. And we're glad to gather and worship. And we're so grateful for each one of us, those who have ventured to come here this morning and those who are with us online. And thank you for those of you on site who are wearing a mask. We're so grateful that we can come to a place like this and feel safe and feel that we can be with other people in a time like this. Thank you. And if you're a guest this morning, whether you're here on site for one of the first times or whether you're online, we invite you to fill out a Connect card and let us know who you are so we can connect with you and we get to know you a little better. And we want to give a big welcome to our kids in the church. And we have a nursery downstairs if you have one here that's that age. It's just down the stairs there, ages 0 to 3. And kids, they can, you know, grab a flag and just love to worship that way. Or there's coloring packages over there. And your children can be involved in that way. So we're grateful kids are with us. I have 4 announcements. Let's work through them. They're going to be great. Okay, September 19, we are having our New Life ministry kickoff called the County Fair. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a county fair theme, and it's going to be here on site, and you're all welcome. We're inviting the whole Dallaire community that we've been praying for and loving all this year to come as well. That's on September 19 from 11:30 to 2. And then for the last 8 or 9 months here at New Life, we've been each month focusing on a different place to serve in the community. We call it Serve 2021. And whether it's giving food or helping people who are recovering from a fire or putting on a party in the park for kids in the Dallaire community. September, though, our focus is going to be here, New Life's ministry, where for that month, we're going to have us focus on serving here at New Life. And we'll be presenting various opportunities for you to serve and to do ministry. We'll have our kids' ministries that are available, Kids Church, Little Lights, and Nursery. Our youth ministry is kicking up again. Life groups are going, and we're having work within our online community. We're grateful for that, our online campus. And we're excited to see what God is going to do through each one of you this coming year. To begin, we got a head start. In the back here is a place for you to find serving opportunities in children's ministry. We're looking for volunteers in nursery, Little Lights, and Kids Church. Back there is a sheet that has a schedule. Let us know, even if you're serving in those areas now, go back there and go ahead and fill in when you would like to be scheduled for those ministries, and that would really help us. That'd be amazing. It's right back there. That's 2 down, 2 to go. Youth, we got Reactivate. It's happening September 10 to 12 at Willoughby Church in Langley. It's a 2-night youth retreat and with all the Fraser Valley youth, and we're excited to invite you out for that. It's going to be a time of worship and teaching and community. We're really excited to have our youth go to that. Registration closes, though, very soon on the 31st. There's an email that goes out to all the families, so register as soon as possible and don't miss out. One more. New Life Live is coming up September 22nd. Mark your calendar. All right, let's transition to a time of giving for our offering. We're going to worship God by giving of our tithes and offerings today, and today's target is for our missions. We're so grateful that we can support missionaries such as Fred Victory, who's serving in the Middle East. Eve Pohl, who's founding director for Hope for Cora in Ethiopia. Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn in Nigeria with Resonant Global Missions and Wycliffe Bible Translations. And Fernando Trevino, our friend in Colombia, who's working with Brand New Life Ministries, a ministry for youth in Bogota. There's offering boxes in the front here. And for those of you online campus, there's a give option there on your chat line. You can give electronically. on the back shows ways you can give as well. For this act of worship, don't be shy. Go ahead, come on up and bring your offering to the offering box just to give thanks for what God has done for us. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we're grateful for a life that you've called for us to give. And we're thankful for our missionaries who bring your word and your kingdom to wherever they are, from the Middle East to Ethiopia, Colombia, Lord, and translating the Bible for various people who need to hear the gospel. We're grateful that we can stand alongside. Help us to give in a way, and we pray, Lord, that you would multiply your grace and your power and your presence and the work of your Holy Spirit through these gifts for your glory and for your purposes. And it's your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
So this is a song that I've been listening to a lot. I wanted to sing it over you guys. It's more of a contemplative, the words will be behind me. Listen, it's just about how sometimes we just struggle within ourselves and just not feeling good enough for God and all that, those things that we just kind of go through, those motions we go through of just not feeling like we're doing the right things or we're thinking the wrong things. We want to please others and we're not thinking about, we're more concerned about what the world thinks of us than what God thinks of us. So it's just like it's a prayer of a person singing these words to God and then God responding with his words in those situations. So I never did.
fall into the mystery, and I'll meet you there in the melody. So try just to try again. So child, would you try again? Oh child, you can love again.
Into new life, so good to be together, and I'm just delighted to be here with you, and with you online as well, so welcome. We're in a series called The Master's Hand, and we're looking at different ways that we can know God. But here's the thing, God knows us better than we know ourselves. Think about that for a moment. God knows us better than we even know ourselves, which then in turn says something about God and what he's like. In Psalm 139, David, in the Old Testament, David reflects on that. And here's what he says, a portion of what he says from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So God is a knitter. A knitter. One who knits, just like Sharon Black here. And so I've invited Sharon to spend some time doing some knitting. I first got to know Sharon as a knitter just a few months ago, back in April, when we did our serve focus for the community. We did a project with Best for Babies, hosted by Archway Community Services, and we gathered all kinds of baby stuff for hampers, and Sharon donated more than this pile. She donated, I think, like 100 hats or something, and for the baby hampers. And so I thought, aha, I know a knitter. So Sharon, maybe you could, how long have you been knitting?
I learned to knit properly with needles when I was about six, maybe.
Six.
But then I discovered this hoop knitting, and I love the stuff.
And that's how you make the hats?
That's how these hats are made.
All right. Excellent. Wow. So you learned at the age of six. What got you interested in knitting?
My mother did every craft there was, and she taught us how to do most of them. I quit when she did lacing on one of those thingy doies. I said, ugh, not doing that.
So do you crochet?
I'm learning.
Oh, you're learning to crochet.
Never too old to learn.
But no embroidery.
I embroider all the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
That's my
wonderful.
Favorite.
Excellent. So here is a person into all kinds of things stitching, right? Knitting. Wonderful. So I mentioned to Sharon, I said, can you do a hat in 20 minutes? And so I think she got a head start. And then by the end of the message or the end of the service, she'll have another hat to add to the collection. And then what do you do with all the hats?
The hats will be donated to a place where they'll go and they'll be distributed. They've gone to different countries. They've gone to different projects.
Wonderful.
I don't keep them. I don't have anywhere for put all this stuff.
Yeah, these are pretty tiny.
And this one?
Yes.
Is very big.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And this came from the spool knitting that everybody used to do on a spool with
I remember doing nails. That. I remember doing that, yes.
Well, now it has a hole in the middle so that you can make hats. And they're different size hoops, all different size hoops. There's a bigger one still, and you just go to it.
And so after a hard day of teaching, you just sit down, and this is just a way to relax or enjoy yourself? And
mindless work with a gift at the end.
Awesome. Oh, okay. Mindless work with a gift at the end. Interesting. Well, so I'm sure you have all kinds of associations with knitting. This morning we want to think about associations with God and knitting. How many people here knit? No Tom Daly's here today. Tom Daly, you heard about Tom Daly. I just heard about him. He was an Olympic diver from Great Britain, won gold for diving, but he got more attention, actually, not so much from his gold medal, but from the fact that he, while he was waiting for his next event, he was caught knitting, seen knitting, and knit sweaters, and he knit a little pouch for his gold medal, and all that kind of stuff. So that, by the way, is one association then that we have with knitting, that it's for women, right? Any guys? Any guys knit? Any guys willing to admit they knit? All right. Well, my association with knitting is my grandma. And so I'm just as stereotypical as anyone. I think knitting is for old ladies and so on. Sorry. But I knew I was going to get into trouble with this sermon. Okay. My grandma lived with us for several years in our home, and she would every day just get up, have her breakfast, and then she would go sit in her chair in the living room, and she would knit all day long, knit, and cranked out dozens of slippers. Unbelievable. And so that's my clear association. And so when I began this message, preparing this message, I was like, what kinds of associations can we have with God that help us to understand him more and better with the image of God as knitter? And one of the first associations, quite simply, that came to me was that God as a knitter is a maker. He makes things. And we probably don't necessarily think about that extensively, but it is a beautiful thing to be able to make things. It may seem obvious enough, and yet think about it. God has used his hands, so to speak, to fashion us. God has gotten in there and he has crafted us. He's made us. Now, perhaps we're used to this idea of God made us. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, God made us. But imagine that. God makes us like Sharon is making a hat. He has his hands on us. He's crafting us. He's fashioning us. He has an idea in his mind, and then he produces it. He makes it. That's a remarkable thing. It requires thought. It requires skill. It requires a certain amount of dexterity to be able to manipulate the yarn and so on. Now, Jim makes things. Jim Parisini makes things. Jim, why don't you come on up here? Because this will be fun for you. Take a seat. And I'm thinking maybe you could You know, like I mean, Tom Daly did it. Make a sweater. Could you make a sweater? Just go ahead. I mean, there's some needles here. You got some needles? I don't know. Do these work? Will these work?
Not for a sweater.
will they work if you teach Jim to knit?
No, I'm going to teach him this stuff.
Oh, you're going to teach him that one. Okay. All right. Okay, so Jim, I guess you're making a hat. Make a hat. Make a hat. Come on.
I'm going to give this to you.
How far are you now?
I'm just going to wind it around a post. Wind it around a post, going from the bottom.
Oh, your finger got stuck in there, pegs there.
Up and around the post. Yeah, and around, and on to the next one.
You got it, Jim? Yeah, you figured it out?
It would be much easier.
So we should have had you making a table up here. Oops. Oh,
see?
It unraveled.
The nails would hold it in place.
Okay, see, so imagine. We rather thoughtlessly, perhaps, say that God made us. But to knit us together takes a certain amount of skill. I mean, I suspect Jim's, even if he went home after church and took up knitting, it would take him quite some time to learn the skill, to be able to actually, he's getting it though. He is getting it. Jenny, you've got a new hobby for your husband. Why don't we give Jim a hand? Look at that. He can't even leave it alone now.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
Good job. That's amazing. Aren't you proud of yourself?
Yeah, well, she was 6, and I'm 66.
You're 60 years late. Yeah. Well, well done. See, if God is a knitter, then not only has he fashioned us with a certain amount of skill, but he's also fashioned us with a sense of being right up there close, right with us. And that says something about God, that God doesn't just dismiss us, crank us out on some machine and dismiss us into the world and say, yeah, take care of yourself. He's right in there with us. See, in knitting, you know every stitch. And so it is with God. He knows every stitch with which he's made you and me. Now, not only has God knit us together individually, but also as a community, God knits us together. Paul says something like that, although he doesn't refer to knitting necessarily, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he makes this remarkable statement. Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." And he makes, get this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He's knitting us together. In all of our daily experiences, in all of our attitudes, and in all of our discussions, he's knitting us together. God is a knitter, paying attention to us with skill, with intimacy, with a closeness that says, I really care about you. And so God is a maker. He takes the yarn of our lives and he knits us together. But here's the thing about one who makes things. They can also take it apart. They can take it apart. They can put it together. They can take pieces and put them together skillfully so that it looks good. And God does a similar thing. He puts things together. He knits us together. But He's also that skillful craftsman who can take things apart as well. In the Bible, there's the story of Job. Maybe you know it in the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job's story is a story of suffering. And at one point, Job uses this very same knitting language that David uses to talk about God making him. He says this, Job chapter 10, "You clothed me with skin and flesh, and you knit my bones and sinews together. You gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. My life was preserved by your care." There's that sensitivity, that intimacy that Job recognizes. But of course, the larger context of what Job is talking about is the fact that he's in the midst of misery. He's lost so much. And in fact, though he confesses that God has knit him together, he's saying, "God, what are you doing? You're taking me all apart again. You're taking me apart. You're unraveling me. You're pulling the stitches." By stating that God has knit us together is also a confession, then, that we are not the makers of ourselves. God makes us, and he can unmake us. God has his way with us. Just as a knitter has her way with yarn. Give me a ball of yarn and I'd be like, that's not going to be anything. But give a ball of yarn to Sharon, and you're welcome to donate yarn to her so she can make more hats. But give a ball of yarn to her and she makes something. It's a powerful image of God. But as I think about my associations with knitting and picture my grandma sitting in her chair, hour after hour, day after day, knitting one slipper at a time, stitch after stitch, it makes me think also that God, as a knitter, is tremendously patient. God as a knitter is a patient God. I mean, knitting's a slow process. It's one stitch at a time. Now, I suppose there was a time when knitting was a necessity, and people knitted in order to, well, provide themselves clothes. I mean, I remember even my mom when we would, run around the house and so on, and she would catch a hole in our socks. Then that evening, she would sit down and she would fix those socks, and you'd end up with a big lump in your sock, but it was fixed. It was a necessity. But nowadays, I suppose it's more of a hobby, as in Tom Daly's hobby of knitting, because it helps him to be patient while he waits for his next event. It helps him to just kind of calm down, slow down, relax, and be able to gain some orientation to what he's up against next. And so, in fact, many of us then perhaps even would excuse ourselves from knitting simply because we would say, I would say, I just don't have the patience for it. But that God knits means then that he has the patience to knit you and me together, though it takes a long time. 66 years, Jim, and God is still at it, knitting you together. No matter what age, God patiently knits us together. Pays attention to each of the individual stitches that are required to make us the kind of people he wants us to be. So God doesn't just kind of send us out. He doesn't just spit us out. See, we're used to buying clothes like that. We just kind of, oh, I need a sweater. I'm going to go to the store. I buy a sweater. I take it home. I wear it. It's done. If it gets a hole in it, a snag, well, then I'll probably just either throw it out or donate it because other people deserve sweaters with snags in it, but not me. See, God doesn't operate that way. Stitch by stitch, God patiently puts us together. He's in it to see his knitting project completed. It's a beautiful thing. That as many times as you feel like you mess up in a day or in a lifetime, God is patient. And he'll knit us together the way he wants us to be. God is, he's patient, pays attention, and he cares for us. Carefully choosing perhaps the kind of yarn he's going to use to knit you together. The color of yarn, the texture of the yarn, the thickness of the yarn. He chooses it all to design us into the people he wants us to be. And in fact, sometimes, as the maker, God unravels us because he's paying attention to each stitch, and sometimes the stitch is too tight and sometimes the stitch is too loose, and God unravels us. Just as when sometimes the gifts that God gives us, we hang on to them, we hold on to them too tightly, and God has to unravel us so that he can knit us in the way that he wants us to be. All of this work of making and unmaking, he does painstakingly, patiently. God pays attention all the time to you. And so with the confidence of a skillful knitter, God doesn't get anxious about his end product. He's not in a hurry. He will complete you the way he wants you to be. Which then means that also in associating God with knitting, God must love us, which perhaps goes without saying. Amy sang beautifully about that. But it seems to me that knitting, picturing God as a knitter, is wonderful because knitting seems to be a labor of love. Certainly, that's what we heard from Sharon, right? A mindless activity with a gift at the end. Why would you give a gift? Because you love. Because you want someone else to delight in that gift. Knitting is like that, a labor of love. Perhaps even just the love of the yarn, or having the feel of yarn, and the love of making a product, the love of gifting a person with an item. In a machine-driven age, something made by hand expresses wonderful love. It expresses wonderful care. It expresses that kind of delight in another. And so also God. He handmade you. He continues to handmake you. And in that way, God expresses his tremendous love for us. He's made us by hand. That means that he takes the time to make us. It means that he's willing to invest himself in you and me. It means he loves making people. And that has value. That God even knows how to knit is impressive. Don't you think? That he knits us together, that he knows how to do it, is impressive. It means that not only can God hand make us, but he can also repair us. So, I mean, nowadays, if I have a hole in my sock, my mom's not around, and I just toss the sock into the garbage can. But when we have a hole in our lives, God can grab a hold of us and repair it. He'll take us by the hand and he'll stitch us back together. God knows how to knit, and he knows how to repair, and he knows how to create. And that creative process is a beautiful thing. It instills love. Love into your life. Love into my life. Love into our life together. Love into all the world. God's love. Because he makes us, and he makes us by hand. You don't make something that you hate. You don't make something that you despise. That God makes us, that God fashions us, means not only that we have value, but that we're wonderful. And that can make us feel good about ourselves, perhaps, but perhaps even better. It can change the way we view one another. And to be able to see God, to see one another as God's handiwork. Handiwork. He didn't just toss these folks off and say, have a nice life. He didn't just toss you guys and say, make it work. He stitches us together. And so we can view one another in that same kind of wonder, in that same kind of patience, and with that same kind of love as we seek to be God's people together, to see each other through God's eyes, the one who has handmade us. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we marvel that you've knit us together, stitched us, stitch by stitch. You've paid attention. You know us, God. You know us better than we know ourselves. And for that, we give you praise. And for that, we surrender ourselves to you. God, we live in a world that sometimes is confusing, sometimes frustrating, sometimes disturbing to us. And yet, God, you are the maker of all that there is. You are our maker. And so we give ourselves to you. In our lives this week, Father, we pray that over and over you'll remind us to surrender ourselves to you, and where we need repair in our lives, God, help us to give our lives to you. And where we need some unraveling, Father, we pray that you'll give us the courage to endure and to submit to you and to trust that you will put us back together. No matter what we are currently experiencing. And so, God, help us to live in that hope. Help us to live in your patience. Help us to live in your love. And may we give you all the honor and all the glory. Help us this week, Father, also to see each other through your eyes. As you have made us, God, help us to recognize one another as your handiwork, beautifully, wonderfully made. And may we celebrate that as the body of Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone.
Psalm 139, David says, Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. God's hand will guide you this week. Go in the confidence that you are a child of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you